What's up, entrepreneurs? Welcome to Untrade Chat Daily with me, Diana Gladney, your small business and video marketing coach for home-based business entrepreneurs, where I take you behind the scenes of what it's like to run a small business on a day-to-day basis to help you along your journey and share my thoughts and tips to help you share your passion and change people's lives. So if you're into chatting about that, let's jump right into today's message. What is up, entrepreneurs, and welcome back to another wonderful episode here at Untrade Chats Daily with your host, Diana Gladney. Super pumped that you are here. If you are a brand new listener to the show, welcome to the podcast. If you are a returning listener, you're the bee's knees. So today I want to be talking about, I don't know why I say that. I catch myself saying that in actual videos and here on the podcast. Today I want to be talking about, I have no idea why I say that. But anyway, today I want to talk about disrupting your comfort zone. And it's not just about disrupting your specific comfort zone, but it's also just sharing with you through my own process of when I disrupt my own comfort zones. It's actually a goal that I have at different times to continually disrupt my comfort zones. And when most people think about, you know, disruption and comfort, then you look at, you know, comfort as the thing that is good. And then people look at the disruption as something which is historically been known to be bad. But when I say disrupting your comfort zone, it's something that is actually a good thing, simply because you are breaking the callus of something that has become the norm, so much so that it can become antiquated and something that continues to hold you back and something that is just not good for you. We are a few short days, so it feels like, and so it would probably feel like a week or two before we are rolling into 2019, even though we have more days than that. But just the way time, you know how time gets by you and life happens, and then there's turkey. And then you go into a food coma and you wake up and you know it's Christmas. And then before you know it again, it is New Year's. So, you know, that happens. And so knowing that, I have never been, I don't want to say I have never been, but I've never really subscribed to the whole wait till the New Year's shindig rolls around. And then we can begin to, you know, make changes. Wait until such and such time frame and then we can go about doing X, Y, and Z. If there is a person that is a problem in my life, you're a problem for me today. You're a problem for me right now. Me waiting for something that is relatively insignificant in the grand scheme of things that really does not matter, aka a change of date, means nothing. Essentially, it means nothing. So I don't know if you subscribe to that personally, but it's something that I honestly hate. Like, I legit hate it because it just seems so ridiculous. It seems absolutely ridiculous. Now, when it comes to a familial something, like right now you'll see on Facebook that, you know, people showing memes, they're showing GIFs of, you know, there where the GIFs are those little animated, you know, 2 or 3 second repeatable video clips or whatever. Almost looks like an image, but it's just somebody doing the same thing over and over again or whatever. So you'll see a bunch of stuff and all these, I'm getting ready to dump some people out. I'm getting ready to, you know, sweep the garbage out my life. It's like, why do you let somebody hang around 365 if they are legit a problem for you? Like, why? It makes absolutely no sense. So that boggles the mind. When it comes to like a familial aspect, at times it can be different difficult. To really evaluate when do you let somebody go? When do you seriously deal with that person as a challenge in your life or your way of wanting to change a lifestyle or a belief system or something like that? Then, as always, I would say deal with it now. And while you can't necessarily get rid of family members, even no matter how much you want to, you are still blood tied to that person. They're still going to be on the family tree, and no matter how much you scratch them out with a Sharpie, they will still be there. Whether you talk to them or not, they will still be there. And you can say, I don't care if they die or live, if it's something that, you know, bad between you or whatever, because I've talked to people and they'll say, yeah, we don't talk to that side of the family. Even in my own family, you have members that don't talk to each other. And it's just like, okay, well, eventually this will all die when everyone else dies, or when that's whatever issue is dies with you, and life will continue to go on despite the nonsense. And so with that being said, we have to understand that there are seasons of separation that will come between you and your family members, or that need to come between you and your family members. I created a season of separation between myself and my best friend, not because anything was wrong, not because she was a terrible person, and not because I loved her any less, but because I loved me. I needed to do this for me. And because she loved me, or loves, not loved, but you know what I mean, present tense, not past tense. But because she loves me and she understood, she allowed me that time fully, understanding. And so when you think about if somebody truly loves and cares for you, that's a family member, they will understand. And at different times, you have to understand that there is a toxicity rate that you cannot stand as a human being, whether that is from a poison that is in liquid form, gas form, or whatever, or if it's a personality or spirit form. And I sincerely mean that in all of those different ways. Because if somebody is poisoning you with their energy, they're poisoning you with their stories, they're poisoning you with all of this different stuff, at what point do you stop doing that? Stop giving yourself a lethal injection when it comes to people. Deal with that stuff now and handle that now for your own sake and for your own future. I love my sister dearly, and she was sharing with me how, you know, she'll get people that just dump on her, or will she's sharing all these negative things, and how she's, you know, just kind of wanting people to be more positive, share something good. You know, she already has her own challenges. Everybody has their own challenges. And the last thing that you really want to hear when you ask somebody, how are they doing, is all the negatives. And so I asked her, so why are you letting people just dump on you? You know, if I can't bring my trash can full of kitchen garbage and old whatever stuff that's probably a couple days from being rancid, if it just sat there, if I can't dump that on your floor, on your kitchen floor, why would you let somebody do the same thing to you in your life or in your mind and in your space? And she was explaining to me, which is kind of like a double-edged sword. At different times, you need to be that receiving party for people, not so that they can dump on you, but to help them work through their challenges. But at some point, that person needs to make progress, or it does become dumping. So she's working with somebody that is making progress, or I hope, you know. But when it comes to me, and there are different times when you will need to be that listening ear, you do need to be that shoulder to cry on. But if all you ever do is cry, if all you're ever doing is letting your nose run and this, that, whatever. My nieces and nephew were over here this weekend, and my youngest nephew, he was getting very tired. I am not extremely patient. I am not extremely patient. And somehow yet I still managed to deal with all these children. However, so I had about 5 kids here this weekend. And so the youngest of them being 3, or just turning 3, I believe, he was tired. He was visibly tired. I don't think he had taken a nap. Hell, I had even taken a nap. I'm so daggone tired. And he just would not stop meddling with people. And so I called him over and I told him to stop. And then he starts crying instantly. I'm like, I'm not even yelling at you, nor do I yell at you. So I said, am I yelling at you? He said, no. I said, did I hit you? He said, yes. I said, boy, I ain't hit you. So I'm like, you're not even responding right. Go lay down. Just, it's bedtime. Bedtime. Okay. And so, you know, we're sitting there and he's at the point where he's about to crack and get hysterical. And I'm just not even finna hear that in my house at all. I have zero patience and tolerance for, if nothing is wrong with you, you will be quiet, because I'm not finna deal with that mess. That's just me. And so, but he's like a little drool on himself. And most kids do it. I've seen all of them do it, or whatever. They're just losing their minds with being tired. And they are just being kids, legit just being kids. But if an adult, if a grown person is in, and it's like, it's not physically, but it is almost as if it could be physical. It's not physically, it's just metaphorically. You know, if they are doing that with the text messages, with the calling, with the constant stuff, it has to stop. I had a cousin. Love. I have a cousin. Love her to death. Season of separation. You know why? Because I don't want these phone calls in the middle of the night of whatever challenges that you are experiencing. Not because I'm a terrible person, but because I at the time had to be, or even still, it's like my work schedule. I worked super early in the mornings. And so when you call me in the middle of the night, not only are you breaking my rest, not only is it typically some nonsense, but this is avoidable nonsense. This isn't, hey, my car broke down or something or whatever. It's avoidable nonsense. And you guys know what I'm talking about, okay? So when it comes to that and disrupting your comfort zone, sometimes it requires you to do the uncomfortable thing and put a stop to it. So for my cousin that I love dearly, I told those calls don't get answered anymore. Those text messages, they stop being responded to. Wait about a good 24 or 48 hours. See if it was really a concern. Is it something really going on? And if you're listening to this, you may be thinking to yourself, man, that is brutally harsh. I couldn't be related to you. We couldn't be one another. Let me tell you something. When I did that, that is one of those times when I'm explaining to somebody, you have to teach people how to treat you in the most respectful way, in the most honorable way, and not in a I'm conceited type of way, but in a wholeness type of way. You need to teach people how to treat you. And that means if your body is a temple and you know that even if, like, again, so most of you guys that listen to this podcast, or I'm sure all of you by now, you know I'm a Christian, so you know my belief systems. And it doesn't matter if yours is the same, but I think no matter what your beliefs are, that you can agree that you should respect your body and take care of your body mentally, physically, with the foods that we consume, with the thoughts that we have, with where everybody can see a body that has been broken down physically and mentally versus one that has been well kept over time. And so even if you can at least attach hold to that simple principle, then you need to understand that you need to teach people how to treat you, including your family. And so after some time for doing that, and before I knew it, so much time had went by, and just like I had completely forgotten, you know, so then that relationship became, unless it's a severe emergency, I don't want to hear it. And my cousin now knows that and respects that. But you also know I'm not that person that you can do that with. If you need me, you know for a fact, guaranteed, without question, I will be there for you. When you abuse that, I will no longer be there for you for a time. There has to be a season of separation with your work. I had to explain that to one of my supervisors. If it is not about me being off of work, for some reason, don't call, don't text me. I am not a salaried employee that has to have a company phone or line, or where you're paying a portion of the bill, or that you are doing something where I'm not at any specific level that requires you to really talk to me outside of my working hours. So unless it has something to do with that, don't call me. Don't text me. I don't care what's going on there. The building can burn down unless there's a reason for me not to be there. Don't call me. Seriously. And so it was a situation where somebody was not going to be able to make it into work. And they texted me and called me asking me if I could come in early to cover for that person. I saw it. And I don't care if you have the response on to where you can see when a text message is read or whatever. That's your personal business when you want to see a text message read. I care nothing about that. When it comes to my personal time and my time away from company time, don't call me and don't text me. You will not hear me. You will not get a call from me If I know that you're on vacation or that you're off, don't call me. Do not text. I will not call you. I will not text you. Other than to tell you, I am not going to be there. That is all. Literally, that is all. So they called and they texted me to ask me to come in early. Saw the message, rolled right back over, went back to sleep. That is of none of my concern. That has nothing to do with me. Got to work at my regularly scheduled time. They came up just all nonchalant and happy, like, hey, you missed my call. I called you. Oh, no, let's get this clarified here. I don't work like that. You cannot call and text me about whoever comes. If that's an issue as the supervisor, you should probably handle that. I am not a person that will never come in early in that way, you know, and cover for, unless it was something that's already pre-scheduled. I already talked about this the day before or whatever the case is. If you are knowing that you're not going to be there or something like that, it's enough stuff in place at that job to know in well in advance when and cover for it. Even if they call off same day, you know, so it was never a time where it would be such an influx of so many people calling out where if it was a weather thing, it's expected or just something else like that or whatever. And if there is, as the supervisor, that's your responsibility to handle that. That has nothing to do with me. Don't call me. Do not call me. And so when I got to work that day and he came up to me and he asked me, you know, about the call and the text message, I told him straight up, I don't answer calls or text messages that do not have anything to do with me other than you saying, hey, this happened. There's no need for you to come in today, or the it's poor weather and, you know, they decided to shut down whatever or something, you know, relevant. Don't call me. I don't answer. I don't answer those kind of text messages or calls. You can't call me on a Sunday if it is not a time that I'm scheduled to be there and I'm not there for whatever reason, which has never happened. Do not call me. Teach people how to treat you. Never had that issue again. Never had that issue again. So, unless it's an emergency, which those do happen from time to time, unless it's an emergency, do not call me. You must teach people how to treat you. This is going to be a disruptor to your comfort zone simply because you may not like having these uncomfortable conversations. I don't know how my supervisor was going to respond that day. It's not my problem how you're going to respond. All I can do is in all sincerity and honesty and humility, tell you what I just told y'all. That is not my primary function. I don't answer that way, nor do I operate that way, nor at any portion of a contract or any addendum or anything that I signed to become legally contracted to work here had anything to do with any of that. So unless things have changed, and somehow my signature has been placed upon something without my knowledge, that doesn't exist here. You will not treat me that way. Never had that problem again. When it comes to what's wrong with your comfort and your business, maybe something is working. And you always hear people say, and sometimes we'll hear stuff that nobody necessarily teaches you, but you adapt it anyway. And if I said a phrase like, money doesn't grow on what? You'd know what I was talking about. If I said that you're skating on what? You'd be able to finish that phrase. And so at different times, another one is like, if it's not broke, don't what? You know, all of those phrases are phrases that maybe somebody said it to you, but not necessarily. But you've heard it so many times and you're not sure necessarily where it came from, but you adapted it and it becomes a part of your belief system. And so now you don't even know why you believe those things, but somewhere at your core, you believe them. And so the whole, if it's not broke, don't fix it thing, even if it was stuff that was, you know, over time embedded from watching TV and subliminal messaging and whatever else kind of other stuff. The whole don't, if it's not broke, don't fix it is at times a lie. Basically, I think that comes from housewives with husbands that try to be good house husbands that eventually try to fix the sink. No, they don't have the capacity to fix the sink. And then the next thing you know, the sink is broke for 2 weeks because they don't know what the heck they're doing. They don't want to admit that they don't want to call whoever they need to call to actually get this taken care of. So that's a thing, you know, that could be fine. But otherwise, when it comes to things that you're doing in your business, when somebody says, if it's not broke, don't fix it. Well, can we make it more efficient? It's not that it has to be broken that requires it to be fixed. What about improving its efficiency? Everything that I have changed in my business at this point is the fact that it needed to be more efficient, or there was a better way. There was a better system. There was something else that could be done that would make it better. So what would that thing be? When it comes to my website, I'm still now, my blog posts that I've written over time, a lot of those aren't up. I don't have those associated blog posts up for the different podcast episodes. For the Entree Chats daily ones, I'll have to come up with a template format and just get those routed in and all of that. So it's already like something 50-something episodes just on the Entree Chats daily. There's about 60-something episodes for my Passion of Business podcast that I was previously doing. So, you know, needless to say, I have over 100 to take care of right now, in addition to those that I'm still creating content for, to even get to a point to do it. So I may hire temporarily hire an assistant just to take care of those specifically for some of this essentially busy work. So my efforts can be focused on some other stuff. But, you know, if it's, I say, why would you leave almost 3 years worth of blog posts and just completely, you know, go a different route if you knew you couldn't import them? Because every other function that actually generates income in my business, the blog posts may, and I have not been able, I can't definitively say that the blog posts on my website have brought in any income whatsoever at all. Like, at all. So other than it being an additional form of content, some type of something that somebody's looking for because they're used to seeing it, it's just like some elements of your website that you have there, not because it necessarily serves you specifically or it may be generating income, but it helps contribute to your overall professionalism, like an about page and stuff like that. You know, as much YouTube, as many YouTube videos as I have out there, as many podcasts out there, you know, there's not really a whole bunch on my about page that will help you learn me more than these specific episodes, learn my quirks and things like that. And so even my something where I say today I'm going to be talking about, or today I want to be talking about, you know, when I say that, like, that's something I genuinely say. And it's like, I don't even ever catch it until after the fact, because that's just me. You know, that's just something, that some phrase that I say that I didn't hear it until I had to play back my own videos and my own podcast episodes to make sure everything went the way it was supposed to go. But I digress. But yeah, it's like, you know, so it's not just about being comfortable per se, but it's about improving the efficiency, and that can disrupt your comfort zone. This is disrupting my comfort zone with this blog post stuff, because I was just going to say, screw all of the old ones and just move on. But I'll at least do the ones for the podcast. But for the most part, those, no matter how much work that it took to put into those, no matter how much I wanted to, you know, essentially keep those or whatever, they still don't, like, it doesn't, it's almost as if it doesn't matter. Yeah, it was work that was done to get those there or to put the thoughts into them. And somebody may read it and say, well, you don't know how that may be inadvertently contributing to the business. And that's very right. I don't know. But just the same way, an about page, you look for it, or the Work With Me page, and you look for it and it's there, or you're looking for additional content. All I'm doing right now is filling out the website. And so that's something that has to be done. But at the same time, it's just like, do I really need those? But to me, I do. And so not only do I need them, I want them there. So it's not just about necessarily being disruptive to a comfort zone because it's something that needs to happen. The blog posts don't absolutely need to happen. I see plenty of websites that function just fine without an actual blog. But because I have these podcast episodes and things like that, I at least want those associated blog posts to be there for the resources. And when I specifically mention, you know, links in the description or whatever, then that information can be there as well. And it also helps with your SEO or search engine optimization when people are looking for stuff. So I need to get those links and all that stuff together. However, you know, like I said, the reason though I'm having to deal with this discomfort is because I've improved the efficiency of my overall business, period, simply because I've updated my website engine completely. Completely. Does it cost more per month to operate? Oh, yeah. Does it generate more money already? I can tell you right now, I just generated more money this month. I looked at the beginning, and what are we? Oh, we're at the end of the month now already. Golly, it was just like November the 1st. Geez, seriously, like it just really hit me. So already we're at the end of the month for November, you know, about 6 weeks, 5 or 6 weeks away from the new year. And I think it's been like 5 weeks ish or so, about 5 weeks or so from the new year. Like, it's baffling how time flies. But I knew that for me to get to my 2019 and 2020 goals, I need this to be in place. I don't have time to fiddle around with, you know, does this WordPress plugin work and how does it work and all of these micro learning curves. And I've talked about it before, where too many left turns, too many of the same left turns or right turns even, it doesn't matter, but too many of the same left turns is just a circle. So too many learning curves equals a circle. You're just going around in circles. I don't like that. I hate that. And so for me to improve the overall efficiency in my small business coaching business, for my consulting firm, I need this system. I needed this system. So I can periodically make sure that blog posts get up there like they need to, associated podcasts and all of that good stuff. But otherwise, I had to disrupt that. And also, not even that, I had to learn this whole system. I'm still learning things about it right now. So that is a disruption to my comfort zone, but it's also an increase in efficiency like you would not believe. Like you would not believe. So when it comes to trying to identify what things deserve disruption, you have to look at, you know, what things are you afraid to change? Like I sat on this for probably like 2 weeks before I started moving stuff over. And like, well, let me look first and da-da-da-da-da. And I was like, you know what? This isn't me. Let me stop playing. Let me stop playing with this and let me just do it. And that was 2 weeks wasted. 2 weeks worth of work time that I could have contributed to getting this done that, you know, I'm sitting because I'm dealing with a slight slither of fear about it, but it was an area of my business that deserved disruption. And I kept updating, you know, WordPress theme after WordPress theme, trying to find the right thing that was for me, that was fitting my vibe. And as I just even discover myself in my business and just become more of myself in this, all of this, and just even continue to grow. You know, it's like you become awakened to yourself. Like doing online business marketing, I have so much, just like I've just become so aware and just so awakened to really who I am. More than I feel like I ever have before in my life. I think every other level has led up to this, but I have truly just felt like this evolution of thought, of belief system, of just all kinds of stuff. And so it's been really, really awesome experience. So that was something that deserved disruption because it needed to match where I am and where I'm going. And even sometimes you'll need to make those steps prematurely to where you're comfortable at, you know, so you need to do it before you're ready. So something else, you know, it's like what else deserves disruption? You need to disrupt what you know will work, but it'll cause you to change. Video is that thing for a lot of people, especially if you listen to my content, if you follow my teachings, then you know that I profess video a lot. Something that will need to be disrupted is your comfort zone when it comes to what the thing that you know will work, but the thing that will cause you to change. Everybody has this. I'm having different areas of this in my business. And for a lot of people, that first step is getting used to hearing their own voice, getting used to seeing themselves. If you are overweight, it's getting used to seeing that double chin on camera. It's getting used to seeing that large bust on camera. You don't hide your fat on camera. Camera doesn't add 10 pounds, doesn't take away 10 pounds. It does reduce your energy, though. If I was recording this just with the video, if I had a video going for this right now, I would have to do much more than I would audibly right now. So right now, audibly, this is fairly interesting. I'm not just speaking monotone. I have lots of inflection in my voice. I'm, you know, at different times I may chuckle or whatever. But, you know, audio is something that, you know, it's easy to tell if it's interesting based off of the way that person is talking or if it is just kind of monotone or whatever, no matter what they're talking about. But when it comes to video, it will zap your energy. So you'll need to add like 10 to 20% more energy than you typically would. And so you'll feel foolish when you're doing it, but you have to do it. Or making the thumbnail images and all that extra other stuff. Like you feel so silly taking those pictures, but when you do it, it actually is legit. You know, it comes across legit. And so getting used to being on camera is very uncomfortable. Like I just was going through some Google images of myself that came up because at different times I'll search different words or things that I'm keyword researching in my business or seeing how well something is doing. And then I'll click over to the Google images to see where or how much of the Google images page am I taking up with different content. And so I did that this evening for a specific phrase. And I just saw one of my old video clips. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was like a screenshot and it's got like a ponytail or whatever. And it's just like, most of the time I'm dressed down for whatever I'm doing. You know, I'm not super flashy at all the different times or whatever, but it's like, as much as I feel like being dressed up, that's a limited time only. Okay. You know, like if I'm doing a video, so, like I'm going to be wearing that stuff for a little bit. Cause then after a while I want to put my jogging pants and a t-shirt on, you know, I just want to chill. And so it's like, that was apparently a day, like, it's just like, I had to get past that though. It's just like, that's, I used to feel like, okay, I need to get dressed before I do. No, it's just like, I just need to get used to being on camera. Anyway, nobody's even watching these videos. So what difference does it make? Zero views almost, you know, for the most part, it's like hardly no views. And the few views that are probably there are probably mine rewatching the video. So the things that, you know, will work. It's like, I knew video would work. But I also knew that it would require me to change. It would require me to be more energetic on camera than I would typically have to be if it was a regular one-on-one conversation. You don't have to feel that animated in regular one-on-one conversations. But for whatever reason, when you watch that stuff on video, it translates completely different than when you're actually on camera. So that's just a thing. And it's weird, but it's just a thing. And so that is something that will require you to change. It's not just changing a process or something like that. It will require you to change. I was looking at my Amazon affiliate income for this month, which is going to be one of my highest paying months. And so I looked at it and I saw that I had a few Canon M3 purchases. I had a few Canon M50 purchases, and it's looking really good. Not just for income wise, but because I'm seeing people get past their fears. Even when I see people buy the accessories, because Amazon affiliates will tell you, so I'm a partner with Amazon. So Amazon affiliates will tell you, it won't tell you who bought what, but it'll tell you what somebody bought. So you'll know specifically what links are working and stuff like that. So when I look at the different types of things that people are buying. People are buying a lot of camera stuff. What have I been talking about? Probably for the past 24 months, even closer, even 18 months, really solidly, or just, you know, there's some aspect of video in some of everything that I've been talking about, even before I kind of really start talking about myself more as a video marketing strategist. And so talking about it, sharing more information, teaching about it, really honing in that message. And, you know, at first it just felt like something that I'm into and I'm excited about talking about it. And then it felt like, you know, it's like, well, man, it's like everybody's really into this. And let me keep talking about it because we're all a community that's interested in this topic. And then it became, you know, really the realization of what's transpiring here, what's really happening here. Entrepreneurs becoming awakened to this idea, and not just in an idea, but just almost a principle of business that is really being seen as a mandatory thing. And they're learning it and they're getting past their fears and having conversations about it. They're learning about it. They're, you know, a community is being formed about it. And you probably are listening to this podcast because you maybe heard me referencing it on my YouTube channel, Entree Women TV. Or maybe you were a listener of the podcast who went over to Entree Women TV because you hear how much I'm talking about video or referencing a video that I did or something like that. And so it's different parts of that. It will require you to change. And it requires you to change what you know. And one of the things, and I'll leave it here, is that, you know, don't wait for a new year for you to change. There is nothing about a new date that will change you. Right now, we're about 5 weeks before the new year comes. Is it better to wait 5 weeks and then begin a change that, if you're sincerely serious about, will become an element of your lifestyle that has been changed, period? Or is it better to be 5 weeks into your new lifestyle change or into the change that will eventually help you? So just ponder on that a little bit. But hopefully you guys enjoyed today's episode. Hopefully you enjoyed today's podcast. And if you did, so be sure to leave a rating or review in the podcast player that you are currently listening to. And make sure you call into the show. Let me know that you did. I'd be glad to give you a shout out. And as always, live with passion. And I'll see you guys tomorrow on Entree Chats Daily.
Thanks for tuning in to today's show. If you enjoyed what you heard, be sure to subscribe for more weekly small business tips and get free access to the basics to starting a business video training at startingyourbusiness.live or text the word leader to 444-999. And remember to live with passion.